Welcome to the March 8th, 2013 Jupilize Me podcast. Jupilize Me. So welcome to the Jupilize Me podcast, where we talk about all things Drupal every other Friday. We've tried to be good with that schedule. I am Addison Berry, your hostess for today's podcast. And today I have with me Holly Ross, who is the executive director of the Drupal Association. Say hi.
Hey, Addie. Thanks a lot for having me.
No problem. So before we're going to dive into the podcast and news and things like that, but I just wanted you to give like a quick overview of who are you, other than the executive director of the Drupal Association?
Well, that's a good question. Every time someone asks, who are you, I want to answer 24601 in reference to Les Mis, so that probably answers that question pretty well. In other words, I'm a nerd. That's one way of looking at it, for sure. I'm a musical theater nerd. I am a wife and a mother and a big nerd and someone who has been engaged in the idea of technology and technology to change the world in particular for over a decade now. I came from the Nonprofit Technology Network, which is a big international organization for folks that are using technology in nonprofits. It's a pretty natural transition to come on over here, and I'm very excited to be here. So thanks again for having me.
Cool. Yeah, I'm excited. Okay, let me do some newsy-like objects here. First off, we have our video stuff. This week, we released some more Module Monday videos. We started that last week, and they're going to be sporadic. So we've had 2 weeks of Module Monday videos. There's some good stuff in there, but next week, we're actually switching gears a bit, and we're going to start a whole new tutorial on using Git. Blake Hall and Joe Schindler recorded for us. So that'll be starting up next week, and that's going to go for about a month or so. So that's pretty exciting. And then also I just wanted to give a shout out to the Drupal Camp London team. We were there, myself, Kyle, Joe, and then Blake and Sally, who are also from Lullabot. We were all at London Camp, and we did a workshop on the Friday, which was very well attended by a good group of people asking cool questions. So anyway, it was a great camp. I'm very excited to have been there. And so big thanks to everybody who pulled that off and made us feel welcome. Other events on that event note. This weekend, being March like 8th, 9th, 10th kind of a thing, we have Drupal Camp Stockholm in Sweden, Drupal Camp Phoenix in Arizona, and then this weekend is the Drupal Global Sprint Weekend. There are sprints going on all over the planet to work on specifically Drupal Core, but kind of sprinting on anything and just contributing. And I would just like to point out that you can find one that's happening near you, or you could even set up your own and talk with other people about supporting you in doing that. I'm going to put a link in the show notes for how to get more information on that. But I really want to point out that this is for anybody. If you've never contributed before and you want to kind of like dip your toe in the water and see how it is, find one of these sprints that's happening near you, and you'll find a whole bunch of Drupal nerds getting together and working. And you don't have to be a coder. You can work on all kinds of stuff. We have all kinds of documentation, UX stuff. So check it out. We will definitely have a link in the show notes for that. And then coming up like in the rest of March, in the weeks ahead, we have Drupal Summit Loja, Ecuador. There's a Drupal Camp China in Beijing. And we also have a Drupal Hackfest, which is happening in Lima, Peru. So, and I was looking at the calendar, and man, April's looking really packed with stuff as well. So find an event near you and get involved. All right, so that's my newsy bits. Let's talk to Holly. Before we dive into like the whole Drupal thing and association stuff and everything, I actually just sort of want to get a little bit of a sense of like who you are. So like, what are the things that you are interested in and passionate about just generally, whether it's tech related or not?
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh. So I think one of the things that really fascinates me about, so, you know, my first day on the job, I flew to Sydney, my first official day on the job, I flew to Sydney to go to the Sydney DrupalCon. And, the thing that really struck me right away was I felt incredibly at home because I was surrounded by people who were just obsessive about stuff, right? And I was like, oh, I'm obsessive about things too, you guys. This is great. So
a bunch of OCD people.
Yeah, like, but you know what I mean? Like, you don't just like coffee, you know, you roast your own, you know, like, that kind of thing, which is really great. So I really enjoyed that. And I think partly as an antidote to how much technology is in my life, I really love like urban homesteading kind of things. So I quilt and I knit and I have my own chickens and I jam things and pickles. I have a pickle obsession happening, you know.
Wow.
And I love those sorts of things and really I appreciate like the craft of it, which I think is the same thing that I actually like really like about technology when you do it really well and, you know, there's a craft element to it that I really like.
So where do you live that you can have chickens?
Well, I live in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, okay. So you can have chickens there.
I can have chickens. It's right. You know, you can actually have chickens in many places in the United States, as in usually limits. You can't have more than three in Portland, for example, and no roosters in city limits. But
interesting.
Yeah, it's a growing movement.
Wow. Okay, cool. I actually always wanted to have, like, my own goats and chickens, but I never pulled that off. And where I live now is not really suitable. I assume it requires at least some small plot of ground.
Yeah, I'm guessing that goats are not good apartment dwellers.
I don't think so. I don't think my dog would really appreciate it either because they probably want to eat all the food.
Yeah, the goat probably try to eat your dog too. They'll eat anything.
If it stays still too long. She does tend to sleep a lot, so that could be troublesome. All right. Yeah, chickens and goats.
Yeah.
And that's all, folks. Ta-da!
Can't top that.
All right, so from N10 and chickens and goats, how did you actually end up in the Drupal universe?
Well, you know, it's funny because I feel like my path and the DAs have crisscrossed at various points for various reasons. So in a lot of ways, it feels like destiny. That's my musical theater background too, with emphasis on dramatics. But it is actually really true. So one of the big components about over at N10 was a big annual conference for folks that moved around the United States. And an organization that we've worked with for a long time at N10 is Groundswell Marketing. Some of you guys might know Diana Connolly and her team. I referred them to the Development Seed folks when they were first tackling DrupalCon DC. And so because Diana and I have worked together for 12 years now, 13 years, something like that, you know, and she was always coming from DrupalCon to our show or leaving our show and going to DrupalCon. So we've crossed paths in that way a lot over the years. And then also N10 has been a Drupal shop for a long time. And actually, we have a long history with Development Seed. One of our, Bonnie Bogle, had been on staff at N10, for some time as a writer. And then Development Seed ended up putting together our first Drupal site for us. And, you know, we've been using it ever since. So, we have been, pretty engaged in figuring out how to extend Drupal to do more things and create more community and serve our needs as a nonprofit for a long time. So I've been engaged that way. And then finally, you know, Jacob had been a member of N10 when he was at a job in New York. And then he called up one day and was like, now I'm running this thing called the DA and we're thinking we might, you know, come to Portland. And I was like, well, we just moved into a new office. You want an office for the summer while you're out here? So it's been really, like, there's been a lot of places where we cross paths. And, you know, I think the more that I began to engage with Jacob and, you know, talk about what's going on over here and, you know, also began to just sort of get ready to maybe not be at N10 after 10 years, it just made a lot of sense.
Fair enough. Yeah. And so Jacob, you're referring to Jacob Redding, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Right. Sorry.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify for our dear listeners.
Yeah. My predecessor in this role. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what about your background? Obviously, like, this is, you know, you've done a lot of stuff with Drupal, but, or being exposed to Drupal people, but what specifically about, like, your experience that you had at N10, do you think is why the DA chose you to be the new executive director?
Yeah. Well, I think two things. One is, you know, it took a bit of time, but during the, so I worked at N10 for just about a decade, just over a decade, and I was at the executive director for about 4 years of that. And during that time, you know, we took an organization from, you know, that was 3 or 4 staff up to 12, really expanded the number of programs and services we offered, revamped the funding model, revitalized that, and really, I think, built a very strong, operationally strong organization that's in a really good position to continue to serve the community for a long time to come. And, you know, I think there was definitely an element of like, wow, we just grew really fast and there's lots of stuff going on and maybe we're building the plane while we fly it and, like, let's see if we can bring some operational, order to things and help make sure that the DA is in the best shape possible to maximize every dollar we have so that we can be as efficient with that as possible and put as much back into the project as we can. Not that we're being inefficient now, but, like, you know, we're all trying our very best, but let's see if we can tighten that up. I think that was part of it. And then also, you know, while my title was executive director, and before that was director of programs, I think, you know, my unofficial title in that world for a long time has been ringmaster. Yeah. I got an award, someone called me that, and it really stuck for some reason. So, yeah. you know, this idea that, you know, the community there at N10 is very diverse as well in terms of, you know, its IT staff who are, you know, heads down worried about telephony and security and, you know, stuff like that. And then there's, you know, marketing people who are like, I don't care about security. I just want, like, more apps. Let's do crazy things, you know. So it was a really diverse set of people that were engaged in technology from a variety of angles and trying to help them find their common spaces and, you know, build paths forward together, which I think I had a fair amount of success in. So I think those are probably the two key reasons that we're here now.
Cool. All right. So just because this, I think, is generally mysterious to a lot of people, what exactly does an executive director in an association do? Like, what exactly are you doing over there?
Well, that really depends. It actually really does depend on the sort of size and scope of the organization. But I think, you know, my it's a many hat kind of a job. But I think if I had to sum it up, my job is to be the standard bearer for the mission and to work with our senior team to create the strategy that helps achieve that mission. So, you know, our job here is to serve the project. There are a lot of ways that you can interpret that,
right?
You know. So it's my job to listen to the board and the community and then also keep in mind the needs of the business part of the DA, like what just keeps the DA working, you know, and to try to meld those three things into some cohesive direction for the organization to move in. That was so vague, but it's really true. That's what it is. And then what happens is we work with staff to help turn that into operational plans, right? So we'll have a strategy around community engagement. What does that actually look like? It looks like DrupalCon and global training days and a webinar series, you know, or whatever, right? Or podcast series, whatever we decide those tactical pieces are. And then it's, you know, it's their job to make all that stuff go. And I of course, get to consult and help and direct and monitor, right? But my job, overall job, is to help set that strategy with all those players and make sure that we're constantly working towards it.
So how does that, like, what is your role in relation to the board?
Okay, so... And here's a question where there's what it is and what it could be. but I think, you know, in an ideal world, and I think this board is very much aligned with that, and we're definitely working on it. And boards go through stages just like organizations do. So at the very like founding of an organization, a board is going to be much more hands-on and actually doing things like writing blog posts, right? Or setting up an accounting system, right? They may be very heavy-handed in getting in there and pushing the buttons and making stuff go at a very tactical level. This organization is a little further along. We need less of that now, and this board is becoming more strategic. So they are the partners in strategy setting, and they are ultimately my boss and hold me accountable for getting everything done that we say we will.
Right on. Cool. So you have many bosses.
Yeah. You should totally try it sometime, Madison. It is hilarious.
Not. Well, I was in the association back in its little infant days. And it was definitely an interesting experience. I'll leave it at that.
It was a whole podcast and interview you about that.
It was a whole bunch of passion and good intentions and people trying to squeeze good stuff out in the right places. And we did a lot of good and we did a lot of confusion. But, you know, overall, I think it was good.
Yeah.
So I guess coming to the community, you've had some experience with it. Like what has you... I mean, there's, you know, why the Drupal Association would want you in terms of the things that we see that you can bring to Drupal. But what made you interested in coming to us? Like, what's exciting about the Drupal community and this role that you have here with us?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think first and foremost, like, I love the project. I had a sense of this before, but as I started to talk to people when I actually started really thinking about pursuing the role, you know, this idea of the duocracy that kept coming up over and over again, you know, and how committed people just getting stuff done. And, you know, that is so exciting to me. And just the passion that everyone in the community brings to their work is totally amazing. And I think, you know, I've spent my entire adult career in the nonprofit sector, with the exception of 1 year when I was trying to find myself. I worked at a record label, but that was a lost year. But I spent most of my life in nonprofits. And I think one of the things I came to realize at N10 is that, you know, you don't have to be a nonprofit to change the world. And here's this group of people who are so passionate and they are changing the world every day by creating this amazing tool that can do all kinds of remarkable things, right? And, you know, there's an economy building up around this tool that's creating jobs and making stuff happen. People are actually using this tool in social change organizations to create amazing things there. And just the way that you guys come together is changing the world as well. You know, I'm not a person who likes to sort of hug or sing kumbaya very often, but... Like, there's some, like, sort of weird karmic energy that's, like, so remarkable that you guys, like, I just felt at the sprint, right? And I was like, this has to be going somewhere, making something awesome.
Yeah, it's, I think a lot of people would agree with you that there's a passion. And again, sort of like, yeah, the passion is kind of amazing in the way that people can knit together to get things done. Sometimes our passion squeeze it out in strange places, though. fashion can be a double-edged sword.
Yeah. Well, you know, I definitely feel that. You know, anyone who's ever been in a relationship gets that, right? Like, this, we understand that there's a fine line between love and hate and that they can coexist, actually.
And, you know, they kind of do have to in some ways.
Yeah, right.
And some level they always do. It's always there. If you don't acknowledge it, then you're really in for a ride.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so what do you think the challenges are for this community? I mean, you've kind of come in and I have my own thoughts about the history of things, but I'm curious about what you think about what our current biggest challenges are that are right in front of you right now that you need to get on.
So there's a couple things. I mean, I think just internally for the DA right now, operationally, you know, we are just really focused on how to turn broad brushstrokes into concrete plans that the whole team can rally around, you know, because I think there's been a fair amount of like, you know, go in that direction, you know, and then like four steps forward. That is not what we meant by go in that direction, right?
Yeah.
and everyone being like, okay, so then the next time you hear go in that direction, everyone kind of tries to go their own way, you know. So I think we're really trying to back that up and make sure that we're all in agreement that when we say, you know, operational excellence, this is what it actually means, right, for us this year, right now, at this point in time. This is what we actually need to accomplish. And so that's, I think, the biggest challenge operationally for the DA. I think for the Drupal community as a whole and how we engage with it, you know, that's, there's also, you know, a very big challenge there, because I think we can all agree that we have lots of people who are champions, probably a fair swath of the middle who are just don't know about the DA or apathetic. And then we have lots of people at the other end who, you know, I think there's a trust deficit there that we really feel compelled to try to figure out how to wrangle. And when I say figure out how to wrangle, I don't mean like, you know, we're plotting about how to make people feel like we care.
You know, we're going to send happy drugs into DrupalCon air.
Right. Like, how do we actually figure out how to, you know, how to take this diversity of opinion and help everyone have constructive conversations around it?
Yeah. And so this gets kind of timely, I think, because this week there was a, as I refer to it, a kerfluffle. Where you made an announcement about Neil Kent and Marta Betts being let go at the DA, and there was quite a, again, this passion that squeezes out of our community in all kinds of directions. You get it from every direction at once, right? And so I'm curious, like, well, kind of just like your thoughts on this experience, like, that you've had, because I think this is probably the first time you've communicated with the community and kind of gotten a little bit of a slap down in response to it. And so I'm just curious, like, I don't know what your take on that is. And are you like, you know, screw this, like, I'm out of here? Or like, what exactly is going on with that? And like, how do you feel about it?
Well, how do I feel about it? Okay, so Merlin of Chaos sent a tweet out yesterday that said, transparency does not combine well with non-specifics. If you can't give reasons people fill on their own, they'll pick bad ones. Mm, right?
Exactly.
I was like, oh, those are sage words. So, you know, I think, you know, I'm not going to lie. I wasn't like, yay, let's get out of bed and go to work yesterday morning. It doesn't feel great when, you know, you feel like you make the best choice that you can in a moment. And, you know, it's attacked all over the place. At the same time, you know, because, you know, people have feelings. And even I admit I have the feelings and they get in the way sometimes. But at the same time, I really, you know, I have nothing but respect for all of the folks that care that much. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if you care so much about something that you are willing to lay it out there, you definitely deserve a response, right? So I'm doing my best to respond to people as these things are coming up. and reply to the points that I can, for sure. That's one of the sort of central tenets that I was referring to earlier, and trying to sort of erase that trust deficit, right? I just want people to know, like, I actually do hear you, and we're going to try to work this out. At the same time, obviously, this is definitely an issue I can't make people happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I can't give you the information that you actually want, right? That might actually make you happy. And then also, like, once you had that information, you know, even if you had that information, you care a lot. And there's sort of the logical way to look at things, or like this very, we had to make this decision because way to look at things. And then there's the part where these are great people. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to reconcile those two things. You know, it doesn't erase your feelings about the great people. So I guess I just recognize that, like, there's no way to quote unquote win this one, you know?
Yeah.
And this is my job. Like, I gotta take it on the chin, really hear people, learn what I can, and try to do better next time.
Yeah. And I mean, for me personally, I also just sort of want to say that, like, decisions like this are really hard. And I speak from being in a management position, and it's hard and it sucks. and it's hard to draw the line in terms of information. And I think one of the things that some people might be overlooking a little bit is that also, like, Neil and Marta have their own privacy that you should respect as well,
right.
In this matter. You know, it's just because you care about them a lot, and that's great, and they've done amazing things for our community. You know, at the end of the day, this is also their personal life. So you don't necessarily have a right to know all of the details of what's going on there. So, you know, anyway, I just want to put that out there as a thought as well for people to keep that in mind.
And I'll say, too, like, I feel like, you know, I can't tell you a lot of things because of that. I'm trying to respect Neil and Marta. I know it doesn't feel that way, but it is actually true. And because there are laws about these things, and we just have to be careful and prudent. But also, that doesn't mean I don't want people to talk about it, or I'm trying to make it go away. And I also, you know, if you're friends with Neil, talk to Neil about it. Neil can tell you his side of the story. That's fine. You know, go do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I want people to talk to Neil and be supportive. And I'm really hoping that the community can come together for both of them. And they're great people. And I think there is a good fit for them out there, and be really happy if the community helped them find it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We poked into that little wound enough. Although I guess, you know, like, bringing it back a little further, though, I guess there is, like you mentioned earlier, there's like sort of this like sort of kind of a trust debt, and there's also, you know, apathy. And things in terms of, I guess let's put it this way, there's a history now, because the association is several years old, and there's a history of relationship between the DA and the community. And again, people are all over the map in terms of how they feel about that and what their relationship is. Some people are extremely excited and passionate and happy about it. Others have mistrust, and transparency is, like, you know, a big word that's tossed around a lot when people speak of the DA. But there's also just a large element of people who are just like, whatever, like, why do I care about the association? And I'm just, you know, I'm just curious, like, I don't expect you to have like an answer or a solution to any of this, but I'm kind of curious, like, how much of that you expected coming into the role, and sort of how you feel about that lay of the land going forward, and being able to improve it, basically.
Yeah. Well, I definitely expected it. Like I said, I've talked to Jacob a lot through his transition, and I think Jacob Redding experienced all ends of that spectrum as well. It's certainly not surprising. And I think it's also like just really natural. And I'll actually say, go out on a limb, and I actually feel like the fact that the ends of the spectrum, like the supporters and the folks that are questioning the DA, you know, like the fact that it is so strong on both ends is actually a real gift to the association, because that's the kind of passion that like lots of community managers try to create, you know. Mm-hmm. Like we're always trying to like make that magic sauce happen at N10, you know. It's so hard to manufacture, you know. So we've got it already, which is great. And so the trick is to figure out how to, help people find the right, you know, feel comfortable with where they're at in relation to the DA. It's really important because I think that the role that we're here to play is extremely important. I think I had the folks in from the open source labs at OSU where D.O is hosted. And, you know, we were just talking about the trajectory that our site has been on since we started being hosted at OSL, you know, and when that started, it was literally like, here's the box that was in Teresa's basement, you know, I'm like, we're going to put it over here in this server farm now. And, you know, at this point, you know, it's 90 gigs of space. We're doing like 55 megabits out. And I can't remember how many in. It's actually more out than in, which I'm still trying to wrap my head around. We're maximizing their virtualized servers for the bot that does all the test checking, right? You know, like it's all, like it's, the project has grown tremendously and the resources required just to keep, you know, no matter what you think about D.O, just to keep that thing going, right?
As is.
has grown a lot. You know, OSL has been tremendously wonderful to work with over the years. When we started, we didn't pay them anything to host the site. You know, at this point, you know, as we start to poke around, we think we're getting a great deal, and the cost to the community this year is $90,000 to host D.O. So, you know, that's what we're here for, is just to keep that going at a baseline. We want to obviously improve it, but it takes a lot. That's why we matter. We want to help make sure that this stuff goes forward. You know, also the sort of like in an emergency, we're here to also be the entity that can represent the code base, right? The licensing, like all that stuff. If anything came up in a legal way, it's protected by us, and we take that on. But then finally, I think, you know, we hope that the community is always self-organizing, but we want to help bring more and more resources to that so that, you know, we can help facilitate even more of that and grow that Drupal community. Ultimately, that's what we want to do, is see the project succeed. And I think that's our best strategy for achieving that, is by growing this amazing community. So,
got your work cut out for you.
There's some stuff to do.
Yeah. Is there, you know, we're going to need to wrap up here in just a little bit, but is there anything else that you want to sort of touch on or that you want to share with the community or our listeners, at least that part of the community?
Everyone listens to this, right?
I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, just the other thing that we talk a lot about is transparency. So I actually, if I could turn the tables, I'd love to hear, you know, what you think of when you hear, like, the DA needs to be more transparent. What does that word transparency mean to you?
To me personally? Mm-hmm. I'm not a transparency hater. So, I understand. I think people use the word transparency when what they really mean is communication. Mm-hmm. And I know that those are really similar, but I don't think that they're the same. And I feel like, I think a lot of people, basically, they want to know every single thing that the Drupal Association does. I really mean transparency in the sense of, I want to have a glass wall, and at any time I can see what's happening and why things are, you know, happening, rather than feeling like something's been thrown over the wall. And now it's here, and oh my gosh, what? And I think that, but I think that mostly what people really want is they do want just sort of communication around things and sense of, I don't think people really want to see the inner workings of every single thing. I think people want to understand how we got to X, Y, Z. And so for me, I just feel like being able to communicate that effectively and trying to find that voice that explains it to people well so that they feel comfortable with it is sort of the, that's the thing I think that people really want. Not to know every single thing, because frankly, I mean, you got to be a really weird nerd to want to know every single thing about an organization, every meeting, you know, minute that they have and stuff like that. So to me, that's really what it is that people just want to know when XYZ happened, you know, sort of what is some of the rationale? What, like, how do you distill, how do you summarize, you know, all of this stuff that happened that produced this end result? Whatever that is. So, yeah, I don't know. And, you know, and the association it's always been on the radar. It's always been the thing that people have asked for more, asked for more, asked for more. And I don't, honestly, I mean, I don't know what that actually means from the association side of things. But, yeah, I don't know. That's sort of my answer, I guess, I think rationalization for results is what people really want.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Well, I think that's definitely, I think that's definitely the approach that, you know, that I am trying to take, right, is just to say, like, we had a conversation today. Here's what happened in the conversation. It points in this direction, you know? So I'll continue to do that. And I think, you know, the thing that I just want people to know is that, you know, there are definitely limits on transparency. We actually, as an organization, do have some, there are some legal limits, boundaries out there, right? I can't cross those. But outside of those, you know, I'm for putting it all out there. And so I'll do my best to proactively communicate a lot of that. So after a board meeting, here's what happened. You know, I don't expect that you're actually, as you said, going to want to be the weird person who loves reading board meeting minutes. You know, we post those, right? There's that level of transparency, posting the board minutes.
Yeah, which I think some people don't even realize, honestly, what is even being made available. I mean, I don't know how many people actually go on to association.drupal.org and read through materials on the site before they complain about transparency.
Listen, I mean, I am 100% with you there, but I'm also going to add that, you know, finding those board meeting minutes.
Yes, now that is definitely...
So I reckon, you know...
Findability in an organization, for sure, that has an impact, for sure.
At any rate, but that's, you know, I want to have that extra step of transparency where we're like putting stuff out there before you ask for it, you know, as much as I possibly can. And that may not be apparent to people after this week, but that really is how I'm trying to operate. And also just that, like, I really welcome one-on-one conversations. So, you know, I want to talk to everyone. I want you to email me. I want you to call me as soon as I have a phone number, you know, stuff like that.
Cool. So how do people get your contact info? Is it on the association site?
You are so funny, Addie.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep pointing out the obvious. I'd love to fulfill that for you, that dream for you. It should be. But I'm just Holly at association.drupal.org.
Cool.
So it's easy there. I'm also Drupal H. Ross on Twitter. And I'm totally, like I said, I really feel like if you care enough to reach out, I care enough to respond, and I hope that we can have a lot of good conversations.
Cool. Well, I'll post that contact info in the show notes as well, so folks can find it pretty easily.
Right.
And yeah, and I, you know, this is not the first time Holly and I have spoken. We did meet in DrupalCon Sydney, her first week on the job. And we did. We had several good conversations, just sort of, you know, kicking around and shooting the hay. So shooting the hay, is that really, that's a mixed metaphor, isn't it?
I think, yeah.
Yeah. You don't shoot
something we can't say on
exactly
the podcast, yeah.
Anyway, okay, sorry. Getting
distracted.
Make hay.
Anyway.
While the sun shines.
That's right.
All right, so I'm going to leave us with a parting question for you, which is, many, many moons from now, if you can have people remember your tenure as executive director on the DA for just one thing, what is the one thing that you want people to take away from your time here? Bum, bum, bum.
You know, I think I just really want people to feel like I brought process and clarity to things. You know, people really felt like they understood how and why things happen and that they had found a way, they found their role in engaging around that.
Nice. That's a worthy goal. And I would say that it's also on the community to help you achieve that.
Thanks.
Cool.
I welcome that help.
Yes. Well, thanks so much for coming on. It's been great to chat with you once again. Hopefully I'll be chatting with you again. They'll definitely see you at DrupalCon Portland.
Absolutely.
Which is coming up very quickly now, people. We have like the sessions announced, like stuff's happening. We're talking like 2 months-ish. Yeah. Okay.
Early bird ends soon.
Oh yeah. Early bird ends like next week. Yeah. So, all right, people, get on it. Come to DrupalCon Portland and meet Holly and have a little one-on-one chat. There'll be a line of people.
Instead of the kissing booth, we can have the yelling booth.
That could be really entertaining, but we'll leave that for another conversation.
All right. Thanks, Addie.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, and see you soon.
All right.